Good morning, church. I hope you all are doing well on this Sunday. Thank you all for braving the rain and the conditions outside to come here and worship with us. We had a great time at Rally Day this morning. A lot to be excited in our Sunday school curriculums. You're going to see a lot of new classes. There literally is something for everybody. Paula is going to be doing a class on Paul. Becky and Jacob are going to continue their videos with Teach with a lot of new technology and new seating in that room, so a great opportunity to interact there. And Carolyn are going to be actually doing a Sunday school curriculum, Living Branches, which was written by Denny Rowe. So somebody who just served our church recently, a very interactive Sunday school curriculum, and it's a good class for somebody who's picked up the hymnal and wondered, why are we singing this song, or why are we doing this liturgy? Somebody who wants to know more about what is the reason behind what we do as Moravians. And I think this class will give you a good opportunity to engage that with a lot of good discussion. A few announcements before we get started with worship. First of all, a big thank you to all who donated food, who all showed up for Rally Day. We appreciate all that support. Please note that cares and prayers, I got double booked, so we will not meet on Tuesday. We will meet on Wednesday at the same time. So on Wednesday, September 12th, from 1:30 to 3:30, that is when cares and prayers will meet. I apologize for such a sudden change to that, but unfortunately, my schedule just couldn't work out with Tuesday. I want to thank all who showed up for our first spiritual companioning small group, which met this past Tuesday and had a great first session. Our next gathering will be October 2nd. So for our spiritual companioning group and for our book club, those are going to meet once a month right now. We're going to see how that works for everybody. It'll be a great opportunity. So if you want to join us on Tuesday, October 2nd, both of those groups are not something that are continuously built. So you can come in and try something if you want and see if it's something you enjoy, and if not, you can try something different. Our OMC Book Club, Books for the Soul, will meet on Tuesday, September 18th, from 6:30 to 7:45 at the church. We are reading Have a Little Faith by Mitch Albom. It's a nice little book, so if you could have that read before we get together, or even just have it started, that would be great. You could read that book in a few days. It's a wonderful, wonderful, easy read. But if you need to purchase a copy of the book, please let me know, and please read the book beforehand, and we will as we discuss the book in our club. I think it'll be a great opportunity to engage God in a new and unique way. And please don't forget, we have a pound auction on the 22nd to raise money for our camp scholarship fund. This is important to support because we had the gift of sending quite a few kids to camp this year. We want to keep that up. We want to keep sending more kids to camp. And on the flip side of that, we always offer our kids a scholarship to camp to kind of diffuse some of the costs of that. So if you could support this, it helps not only our kids, but our ministry at our church as we help our young people continue to engage the ministry in the larger life of our church. And please don't forget, on the 29th, we have a quarter auction as well. There's a sign-up sheet for that if you want to bring some food. Lunch Munch will be at the Manor. Please don't forget, newsletters are out this week as well. And we need ushers and greeters to sign up for September and October. Does anybody else have some announcements? Yeah, Kayla. Thank you. And as Carolyn said, we're going to be back to our normal Sunday school schedule next week, so you'll have the opportunity to start some of these classes, and it'll be wonderful. I've been pleasantly surprised that our participation is usually almost half of our attendance, which is wonderful for a church, and statistically is very good. Anybody else have any other announcements? All right, let us stand and greet one another.
Good morning,
Alicia. How are you? Thank you. You may remain standing as we join together in the watchword of the week. And our watchword this week comes from the 146th Psalm, the second verse. Let us share together. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God all my life long. You may be seated. Let us stand for the call to worship. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul.
Happy are those who dwell in the God of Jacob.
The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord watches over the strangers. He upholds the orphan and the widow. Let us remain standing as we sing together, praise the source of faith and learning. Thank you. Please remain standing and join me for our liturgy for Christian education commissioning. For those of you that are following along with your bulletins, that's a white insert that you have. Before we pray this liturgy together, one of the things I want to note is how blessed we are with our Christian education and our congregation. I've served a lot of Moravian churches as interns and student pastors, and I am so impressed by the diversity of gifts that we have, that we truly have a video class and a Paul class and a Living Branches class. And there's not a lot of classes or a lot of churches that have that diversity of gifts. It's important that we utilize those classes and attend those classes and really support many of the talented teachers we have, especially McKenna and Angie, as they work with the younger kids too as well. And Christian education is an important breath of life in our church and something that we should always look to support. So let us pray together the liturgy for Christian education. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge God, and God will direct your paths. We are called into a Christian fellowship by the Lord Jesus Christ, according to the eternal purpose of God the Father, by the Holy Spirit, and a member of Christ's body, the church to serve all people by proclaiming the gospel and witnessing to our faith by word and deed. You may be seated. The triune God, as revealed in the Holy Scripture of the Old and New Testaments, is the only source of our life and salvation. And the Scripture is the sole standard of the doctrine and faith of the Unitas Fratrum, and therefore shapes our life. We realize that our Christian faith must continually be nourished if it is to remain living and vital. Therefore, we desire in our Christian lives through family devotions, personal prayer and study, and the opportunities for spiritual development offered by the church. As parents, remembering that our children belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, we will bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and take all possible care to preserve them from every evil influence. For this reason, we will seek to prove ourselves as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, setting an example for our children, both in the home and in the church. We pray for all expressions and forms of Christian education, for all who teach and learn through the faithful use of their gifts. All may grow in love and gratitude to God and relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for and give thanks for those in our congregation who have been called to teach and serve, and we call upon them now to offer themselves to their special calling. At this time, I ask parents to please stand. Parents, and those assisting with the raising of children, will you offer yourselves to fulfill your special calling?
We offer ourselves to the special calling we have received. With God's help, we pray to set an example for our children and to encourage them in their Christian development. We promise to provide their attendance at worship and Sunday school and give their participation in other opportunities for spiritual growth.
You may be seated. At this time, I invite teachers and small group leaders to stand.
teachers and small group leaders, will you offer yourselves to fulfill your special calling? We offer ourselves to the special calling we have received. With God's help, we promise to participate regularly in worship and study, to prepare for our classes and meetings, and to encourage and show Christian love to each participant, recognizing them as unique child of God, a sister or brother in Christ Jesus. You may be seated. At this time, I invite the elders, trustees, and Christian Education Committee members to stand. Elders, trustees, and CEC members, will you offer yourselves to fulfill your special calling? Offer ourselves to the special calling we have received. With God's help, we promise to participate regularly in worship, study, to prepare for and attend faithfully, provide the best resources, Christian education in our church. We promise to support and encourage all those called to Christian education leadership in our congregation, and to provide and participate in opportunities for lifelong learning. At this moment, will everybody please rise? Members and friends of the congregation, will you offer yourselves to fulfill your special calling? We have offered ourselves to God. Help us now, O God, to fulfill our calling and grow in wisdom and knowledge and grace through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
You may be seated. Let us turn our hearts and minds to a time of prayer. Emily and I want to continue to thank you for all the prayers for her father-in-law, Warren Toyberg. He continues to remain in the cardiac intensive care unit at Columbia Presbyterian in New York. Very still much in wait and see mode, but he continues to get stronger from fighting this infection. And every day is a gift, and we continue to uplift him in prayer and continue to uplift his family who's been traveling to and from New York City. And actually, Emily, who's working her last day at Best Western today, will go back this week to spend some time with her family before she starts her job at Community Mental Health Care on the 17th. So I ask for prayers of travel mercies for her as she goes not only to Bethlehem but to New York City back and forth. For my father, Bob Lippert, who also had a successful cataract surgery this past week. So we uplift that, and there's a wonderful procedure, and I'm hoping he can drive his boat a little better now that he can see a little better. For Don Schanauer, who continues to recover from the heart stent that he had placed in Cleveland Clinic this past week, and he still has another one coming up down the road, so please continue to uplift him in your prayer. For Eric Renner, as he continues to undergo treatments and continues on his path to healing, and also prayers of celebration because he just started working at another United Methodist church in his community. He's still serving his Moravian church, but he's doing a two-part call, so please keep him in prayer because many of you know how much more stress and anxiety that can cause when you're serving not only one but two churches. Well, I'm sure Eric will do that in style, and we continue to uplift him and his family. For Janie Martin, Ron Martin's mother, we continue to uplift her in prayer. She will have her right knee amputated just below her knee. Please keep her in prayer. She's had a lot of surgeries this past year. She's a very sweet woman, and we're hoping that this is the end of the line for her as far as her surgeries go, and that she can continue on her road to recovery. Please continue to keep Janet West in prayer, who broke a bone in her leg and is in a walking boot, and she is in good spirits as well. For Pastor Christine Johnson, who is finishing her last Sunday at Yerkesville this Sunday, and then next Sunday she'll be finishing her final Sunday at Fry's Valley. But for her and Daryl as well, who have been so meaningful to our community and have done so much. For our Cup of Covenant, which will be happening Tuesday, this is when Moravian pastors basically renew their ordination vows, and they gather and get together and celebrate all the wonderful things that God has done this past year, and I know for me that there is a lot to celebrate here at Schönbrunn, and we continue to uplift that in prayer, and I look forward to what I'll be able to say next year at Covenant Time, because God continues to do wonderful things among us. And also for September 11th on Tuesday, as we celebrate 17 years that anniversary, and I still remember being in my sixth grade classroom when we found out that the towers had been attacked, and just to see how far we have come as a country since then is truly remarkable. And please continue to keep our Christian education program in our hearts and prayers. An important part of being a Moravian is continuing to learn. Zinzendorf, the founder of the Renewal of the Moravian Church, they called him Papa. That was his nickname because of how much respect and how authentically he treated kids. And he treated all questions he got from children as if they were questions given to him by adults. And before him was John Amos Comenius, who started with the early Unity of the Brethren, who we consider the father of modern education. And he's really the guy that instilled that children had more than one way to learn than memorization. And he did not invent pictures in textbooks, but he was really the one that utilized it, who said there's more than one way to teach children. And he would actually build gardens within his school so children could not only learn, but they could learn about cultivating things and building things with their own hands. And education is truly something that we are proud to be rooted in. At this time, let us quiet our hearts and take some moments in silence and invite God into this time of prayer. Good and gracious God, we are thankful that you have gathered us as a community today. We are thankful for the gift of Rally Day as we celebrate the signs of new life and the abundance that you give us, and that you are the living branch inside each and every one of us. And as we listen to the rain trickle today, help us to listen to your inspiration that trickles within us and continues to inspire us and renew us and uplift us. Even when our cup runs dry, you find a way to fill it up and make us feel so full of faith, love, and hope that we have no other choice but to share it with each other. And we are thankful for this gift. But we also realize that there are many people in our world who are sick, who are hungry, who are hurting, who are grieving. I think especially about my father-in-law, Warren, and Eric, and Don, and Janie, and Janet. And we give thanks to the Johnson family as they did a wonderful ministry in our valley. Help us to remember that you are uplifting and supporting us every single moment, and that we are never truly alone if we trust in God and we trust in your hand. And as we remember all the great things you do, help us to remember September 11th and other moments where you brought people together. And you remind us that no matter what goes on in this world, no matter how terrible, no matter how dark, that faith, hope, and love will always be stronger, that the light will always defeat the darkness. And we are proud to live with the gift of that joy in our hearts. In your name we pray. Amen. Let us turn our hearts and minds to the reading of God's holy word. We turn first to the book of James, chapter 2, verses 1 to 10, and then 14 to 17. My brothers and sisters, do you with your acts of favoritism really believe in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ? Well, if a person with gold rings and in fine clothes comes into your assembly, and if a poor person in dirty clothes also comes in, and if you take notice that the one wearing the fine clothes and say, "Have a seat here, please," while the one who is poor you say, "Stand there," or "Sit at my feet," have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brothers and sisters. Has not God chosen the poor in the world to be rich in faith and to be heirs of the kingdom that he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor. It is not the rich who oppress you. It is not they who drag you into court. It is not they who blaspheme the excellent name that was invoked over you. You do well if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever keeps the law but fails in one point has become accountable for all of it. And we continue with verse 14. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but you do not have works? Can faith save you? If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to him, "Go in peace, keep warm and eat your fill," and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what is the good of that? So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. And we continue our reading with the Gospel of Mark, chapter 7, verses 24 through 37. From there he set out and went away to the region of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know he was there. Yet he could not escape notice. But a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit immediately heard about him, and she came and bowed down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile, of Syrophoenician origin. She begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. He said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." But she answered him, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then he said to her, "For saying that, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." So she went home, found the child lying on the bed, and the demon was gone. Then he returned from the region of Tyre and went by the way of Sidon towards the Sea of Galilee and the region of Decapolis. They brought to him a deaf man who had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to lay his hand on him. He took him aside in private, away from the crowd, and put his fingers into his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. Then he looked up to heaven. He sighed and said to them, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And immediately his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. Then Jesus ordered him to tell no one. But the more he ordered them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. They were astounded beyond measure, saying, "He has done everything well. He even makes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." May the reading of God's holy word reach your heart, your minds, and your actions. Thanks be to God. This time I invite the children to come forward for the children's chat. So good morning. How's everybody doing? Is everybody enjoying school so far? Doing okay with it? Yeah? Excited that it's cooling down now? Yeah, I am too. So we're going to talk about the importance of balancing things today. What does balance mean? Can anybody tell me? Aubrey? You can balance anything. Paige, were you going to say something? Nick? What are you going to say? What are you going to say, Tyler? What does it mean to balance something? That's good. So you want it to be two equal sides. So like if I sat on a teeter-totter and you sat on a teeter-totter, I would go way up. But if Ron and I sat on a teeter-totter together, maybe it would be a little more equal, right? That's kind of what you're saying. Yep, that makes a lot of sense. So what we're going to talk about is the importance between balance between our faith, which is what we believe in our works, which is what we do. So, I'm going to give you an example of this. So, I read an article on SportsCenter today, since it's the first day of the NFL season, that the average age to be in your prime, does anybody know what your prime is? Your best years. The best years for a football player is when you're 28 to about when you're 32. So, I just learned today that this year I entered my prime. So instead of giving up football, maybe it's time to pull out the old football cleat. So I've decided that maybe I should try out for the Green Bay Packers. And one of the ways I'm going to do that is I'm going to work out. So I want you guys, you're going to help me get in my workout routine for the Green Bay Packers. So I want everybody to get a space. And it's been a while since I've worked out for football, about, let's see, eighth grade, so about 14 years, about half my life. So what we're going to start out here is, let's see, one thing I remember about football is push-ups. So let's everybody do one push-up. Do a push-up. All right. And then stand up. You can do a one-handed push-up. All right, let me think. What else is there about football? Oh, there's push-ups. Let's do push-ups. Let's do a push-up. And let me think. There's one more thing I remember about football. It was more push-ups. Let's do a push-up. Ugh. So how many of you think, if I did this for the next 6 to 9 months, how many of you think I would end up an NFL player? Okay. Why wouldn't I end up an NFL player? Because it takes more than push-ups, right, to be an NFL player. You got to know your playbook. And you can't not only got to be strong, you got to be fast. So if I was only strong, if I only looked like this and I couldn't run and my legs were really weak, would I be a very good football player? No, because everybody would just run right by me. So let's sit down for a sec. So if I can't be the best NFL player, I want to be the best spelling bee champion in the world, because I see these kids on TV, on ESPN, and they're 12 years old, and they're awesome. So I have a strategy. I was never one to do full-scale studying. So I would just focus on what I need to know. So what I'm going to focus on for my spelling bee is the letter X. All words that start with X. So I'm going to focus on these three words for my spelling bee. Can anybody tell me what they are? What's the first one? It's a copier. Xerox. And the second one is a musical instrument. Anybody tell me what that is? You play it? The xylophone. Yes. And the other one is the second you go when you get hurt. What's that? an x-ray. So if you think I memorized these three words for my spelling bee, how do you think I would do? Nick? Not good, because there's 25 other letters in the alphabet, and everyone is more popular than the letter X, right? Yep. I would probably, the second I got hippopotamus or onomatopoeia, I would probably struggle, wouldn't I? Because why? You got to balance. You got to study everything. And the last one, well, if I can't be a spelling bee champion, you know, I'm going to be the rock, paper, scissors champion of the world. So I need somebody to come up and challenge me at rock, paper, scissors. Ready? I'll do Nick first. One, two, three, rock. Oh, man. One, two, three, rock. Rock, paper, scissors, rock. Oh, rock, paper, scissors, rock. Oh, I win one. Okay. Rock, paper, scissors, rock. Oh, you beat me with paper again. Rock, paper, scissors, rock. How are you guys beat? How are they good? That's good. Rock, paper, scissors, rock. Rock, paper, scissors, rock. Oh, you got me with paper. So how do you think you guys were able to beat me every time? Nick. Every time. Why do you think I lost? Because I picked rock every time. Because I didn't do what? Yeah, and that's why it's important that we balance what we do, because you can't... Oh, yeah, okay, so let's sit down for a sec. Yep, good job. So what I want you to remember from this is whether you want to be a really good athlete, whether you want to be a really good student, or whether you just want to be awesome at something really good, you got to balance at what you do. And what we're going to talk about is the way we balance ourselves as Christians to be the best Christians that we want to be is we balance by what we do with our faith, which is what we believe in, and with our works, which is what we do. Because it's not something you want to be off balance. You don't want to do all faith and no works, or all works and no faith. And we're going to talk about why balance is important in our spirituality. So let's take a moment and pray, and you guys can get your snack. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for all these kids, for the diversity that you work within them. Please bless them as students, as athletes, and just as kids who are just having fun with life, and help them to enjoy every moment and to remember that no matter where they go, that they are loved by God in this community. In your name we pray. Amen. Go ahead and grab a snack. At this time, you may remain seated as we join together in song. pray together. Gracious and loving God, I ask that you open our hearts and our minds and our ears to what you have to say and what you have to inspire and stir within us. In your gracious name we pray. Amen. So in post-Reformation Christianity, which is after Martin Luther came on the scene, with the exception of the book of Revelation, the book of James might be the most controversial book of the Bible. And the reason being is that James emphasizes that our deeds are just as important as our faith. James' words directly contradict some of the foundational texts of the Reformation, which echoes cries of sola scriptura, which is a really Latin term for saying by the Bible alone. And many of you are familiar with this verse, Ephesians 2, verses 8 to 9. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Now I want you to listen to how James challenges these words in verses 14 through 17. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but do not have works? Can faith save you? If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and eat your fill, and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what is the good of that? So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. So you see two verses that clearly conflict one another, that challenge one another. And theologians like Martin Luther and even Zinzendorf disagreed so strongly with the words of James that when they produced their own versions of the Bible, they left the book of James out. They completely omitted it. Therefore, we have to ask ourselves as Christians today, what do we think is more important, our faith or our works? And I think the first thing we should look at as true Moravians is we should reject the premise that the answer lies between two extremes, that you either have to choose faith or that you have to choose works on one edge of the spectrum. Because it's a fallacy to think that you have to choose one while devaluing the other. And many of you in this congregation have raised children. So the question I ask you, what is more important? The environment you raise your child in, or the personality and character traits of your child? Which one of those is more important? And if you talk to most child psychologists, they'll tell you it's how those two interact with one another that tells how a child grows up. It's not one or the other. It's the balance of the environment that the child is raised in and the personality traits that a child is born with. It's how those two mix. And the important thing that James is preaching is that our actions matter. They are important. So pretend that you are a stoic Christian who lived in a hut in the middle of the woods, and for 24/7 you could dedicate your life to prayer and reading scripture. The only two books you owned were the Holy Bible and a hymnal. Would that make you a good Christian in and of itself, if you spent your whole life 24/7 in a hut doing nothing but praying, singing, and reading scripture? Would that make you a good Christian? And we look at that question, and many of us would probably answer no to that, because we see in scripture that Jesus teaches us that gospel knowledge is not as important as gospel application. Gospel knowledge is not as important as gospel application. So another way to look at that is you can have every verse about treating the poor memorized in the Bible. You can recite it by word. But let's say if what James preached about was true today, that if we had a poor person show up among us in worship, imagine if we had 20 people show up from that trailer park that's less than a mile down the road, and they tried to sit in our back pews. Imagine if we had those 20 people here. And what would it say if that person who had all those Bible verses memorized turned a cold shoulder and asked those people to leave? What would speak louder with that person? Their words or their actions? Because James 2 is an important scripture that Moravians help center their faith around. In fact, when you look to the early unity of the brethren in the 1500s, when they were facing discrimination from the wider organized church, this was a scripture they pointed to. It was a theme for them, because they saw a church that was corrupt, that was putting money before everything, that was charging people to bury their dead, and in fact would leave notices on the back of church doors if families did not have enough money to pay for the rites of the church. And the early Moravians looked at this and saw that this was wrong, and they saw what writers James were speaking, that our words and our actions must both matter. Because they saw so many groups claim to be Christian and use violence as an answer and a resource. And you cannot love your brother and be violent towards your brother or sister. It just doesn't work. It's too contradictory. Now, I don't want you to misunderstand me. I'm not saying that we are saved by our works, by no means. And the church is full of people who think they can do one more mission trip or active service, and they might be able to will themselves into believing about Jesus. And that way is just as futile as those who seek God in books and rituals, but never seek God in their hearts. But when we seek to choose between our faith and our works, what we are really doing is seeking a way to give God the bare minimum, just enough. See, when we look at that question, we want to give God our heart or our deeds, but we don't have the time or energy to give God both. We are all looking for our C-minus in spirituality, just enough to keep us from failing and going back to summer school. And Martin Luther himself said, the founder, really the father of by faith alone, he said, "Thus, it is just as impossible to separate faith and works as it is to separate heat and light from fire. It's just as impossible to separate faith from works as it is to separate heat and light from fire." And we see the same response from Jesus in Scripture. Jesus gives a similar response in Matthew 22. He said, when they ask him, "Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself." Love your neighbor as yourself. So it appears for centuries that when it comes to answering what is more important, loving our God or loving our neighbor, we have been going about it all wrong. And the real question we have to ask ourselves is, when are we going to start loving our God and our neighbor wholeheartedly? Because for too long we have been trying to give God half a heart. And it's time we started giving God everything, both from our faith and both from our actions. Because brothers and sisters, imagine what our world will look like when we truly start giving God everything. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for not only inspiring the faith within us, but for calling us to do more than just sit in a pew, but to carry your word, to make it alive and active to all those people we encounter in our lives. For it may be the reflection of Christ that lies within each and every one of them. In your wonderful name we pray. Amen. As we celebrate the gift of Christian education today, I thought it would be fitting for our final song to sing one of the classics of Christian education, "I Am Jesus' Little Lamb." And we celebrate that no matter where we are on our faith journey, that we all are lambs to Jesus. Let us rise.
Thank you.
before I close this in benediction, I wanted to remind our Browns fans out there of a little scripture that suffering produces endurance, endurance produces character, and hope lies with the Green Bay Packers. So, May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Jesus, amen.